not seen, nor ears have heard what God has prepared for God's people, for you and me. In the meantime, we imagine what it would be like to worship one Sabbath at a time, one new moon at a time, as the vision given to Isaiah. We can only imagine what it would be like to truly rest in God. In the meantime, God has been so gracious and great to us in giving us, in partitioning time into seven parts and giving us one seventh of that time to imagine what it would be like when we truly will rest in Jesus Christ. That's called the Sabbath. And in the meantime, we're here in this world. We do the best we can. We are very restless, very tired, very distracted. And it is very true that more and more we need Sabbath, yet space is collapsing around us. And every time we want to keep Sabbath, the things of the world push in on us. Sabbath becomes almost an impossibility. Resting is a luxury. Resting is an art, and Sabbath is a palace in time that we build together as a people to try to push back on the walls of time, of space that are caving in on us and wanting us to just be servants of work. We're not servants of work. We're children of God. I feel sometimes like this family in this musical that I love so much, which I think you also love, Tevye's family and Fiddler on the Roof. Sabbath is almost here, Friday, frantically trying to get ready for Sabbath. But all the noise, all the commotions of the week just don't wanna go away. I just wish it would just go away. Today has been such, this week for my family and I, it's been such a chaotic week in some sense. Blessful week. We closed escrow this week. And then we took our first shower last night and the plumbing is not working. Now we have to call the plumber. Our shower is backed up and all that yucky stuff in there. You don't want to look. And so my wife frantically tries to rest in the midst of that. Do you ever feel that way? How in the world do you even rest on Sabbath when even preparation day has been pushed out of Sabbath so that you do your preparation day, morning of Sabbath, if you can wake up? And by the time you wake up, it's worship time here at church. And you're rushing to church. Where has Sabbath gone? It's passed you by. It's left you restless. Completely restless. But thank God that God has given us Sabbath. And whether you like it or not, whether you're busy or not, whether you're not there or you're there, Sabbath will come. It's a rhythm of life that God has sent or has set for the universe. There's no astronomical reason for Sabbath. It's just God dividing time into seven parts. And he says, meet me on the seventh and let's have time together. I want to show you this video of Tevye's family and see if you can identify with him and his family.
Well, it's getting late. Where is everybody?
I don't know, Papa.
Children, come down, children. We are lighting the candles. Children.
Reb Tevye.
Not now, Mottl. Hurry up, children. Hurry up.
Reb Tevye.
Not now, Mottl. Golder. Golder, the sun is almost down.
Reb Tevye.
What is it?
Reb Tevye.
Yes.
Retevia.
Yes. Yes.
I...
Yes. Well, what is it?
Good Sabbath, Retevia.
Good Sabbath. Good Sabbath. Hurry up.
Hurry, children, hurry. Bertie. It's getting late. Hurry.
The Lord protect and defend you. May He always shield you from shame.
May you come to be in Israel a shining name. May you be like Ruth and like Esther. May you be deserving of praise.
Strengthen them, O Lord, and keep them from the stranger's ways.
May God bless you and grant you long life.
May the Lord fulfill our Sabbath prayer for you. May God make you good mothers and
may
wives.
May He send you husbands who will care for you. May the Lord protect and defend
you. May the Lord protect and defend
you. May the Lord preserve you from pain.
May the Lord preserve you from pain.
Favor them all, happiness and
happiness,
for hear our Sabbath prayer.
Can you imagine what it would be like for all the families of God, of your families, screeching to a halt, keeping Sabbath, enjoying the blessings of holy time? I see this as an ideal that often we don't meet. For a lot of times, I believe that Sabbath has become to us just something that we cry about, saying, you're a Sunday keeper, and I'm a Sabbath keeper. It's a badge of honor to us, even though perhaps we may learn a thing or two about how we truly should keep it. What is Sabbath? Is it just something that we use to say to others that I've got truth and you don't? I'm a Sabbath keeper and you're not. I pray to God that Sabbath to you is a lot more than that. Because if Sabbath's just a badge of whatever it is, then perhaps we have not, like the writer of Hebrews says, have not entered into that rest that God desires so much to give us. And that He gives us a glimpse of every time we keep Sabbath day. What is Sabbath? What do we mean when we keep Sabbath? What do we do? What does Sabbath do to us? What does it do to us? Jesus Christ says in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, Mark chapter 2, verse 27, He says these wonderful words. Well, you've heard this My fingers can get there faster than my mind can. Jesus Christ says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And then he says on verse 28, so the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Two things, two important things that he says to us there. Number one is that Sabbath's made for you and me, for our benefit, for your benefit. And the second thing it tells us is that Jesus Christ uses the symbols of Sabbath for his own lordship. That is to say, that the symbolisms of Sabbath can and do point to Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. I want to mention just six things here very quickly that the Sabbath does to us or for us when we keep the Sabbath holy. Number one, Sabbath, well, it celebrates God's friendship and presence with you and me. Do you recall that text in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 to 3? It says, thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. Verse 2, by the seventh day, God has finished the work he has been doing, so on the seventh day he rested from all his work. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. And somebody asked the question, why in the world did God rest on that day? And somebody has made an answer more than once, because he was tired. I suppose if you've been working all week, if God were like you, he would have been tired, yes? And a lot of times we come here to church and we snooze because we are so tired out there, and we're here, that's okay. You can rest here as well, physically. And so if you're snoozing at church, that's okay. I don't take offense. But Sabbath, somebody has said, I want to quote somebody here. I want to quote somebody here by the name of Niels Erik Andreessen, who is an Adventist theologian. He says, a much better understanding of the Creator's rest would be that in ceasing and resting, the Creator turns his attention from further creative work in order to enter into community with man. On the Sabbath, the Creator lowers his eyes from the stars and the galaxies to be present with humanity, with you and with me. The creation, he says, the creation Sabbath then is the day of God's presence and of his grace. Can you imagine God creating the world, creating this galaxy, creating this world? And on the sixth day, at the end of the sixth day, he says to himself, I've had enough of this. I will now spend my time with those I created. And so he says, he sets apart that seventh day for you and for me. Isn't that wonderful? The second thing the Sabbath does to us is that it provides a rhythm of joy, peace, and rest. It provides a rhythm of joy, peace, and rest. Now, I want you to pay attention to the word rhythm. I'm not talking about syncopated rhythm. I'm talking about the rhythm of your life, by which, when preparation day comes, you know that Sabbath is almost here, just like Tevye and his family, and they're frantically trying to get ready for Sabbath. Sabbath is almost here. Sabbath is almost here. And all of a sudden, the sun sets. They light the candles, and everything comes to a screeching halt. And then they gather around the dinner table and celebrate the arrival of Sabbath with candlelit dinner. Wow, I wish that more of us Adventist Christians would learn, from the Jews, at least this much. To value Sabbath so much that we crave for it during the week. Not that God is not with us during the week, but there's something special about the day that God has blessed, and he says, all day, I have set aside this time for you. All those of us North American Christians can identify with setting aside time. You know, what would I do without my my PDA and blocking off time? If I didn't intentionally block off time with for my family, as a matter of fact, I still have a lot to learn about that. Even when I block off time for my family, the world still wants to push in on it, make it smaller and smaller and smaller until I don't have time with my wife anymore, so that even the pillow talk that we have is reduced to minuscule minutes because we're so tired. And yet the Sabbath is meant for us to have a rhythm in life. And much of what we do in life, if we don't have rhythm, then you become a scatterbrain. Aren't we already? And our life will reveal to us that we are also spiritually scatterbrain. And yet when we refuse to abide by the disciplines of this day, we allow ourselves to be pushed to the limit by the things of the world. And we become slaves to toil. The Sabbath provides us a rhythm, and that rhythm is joyous. That rhythm is peaceful. That rhythm is restful. Here's what a rabbi by the name of Abraham Joshua Heschel says. He says, labor is a craft. In other words, it's something that you master. It's a craft. But perfect rest is an art. It is the results of an accord of body, mind, and imagination to attain to a degree of excellence in art. One must accept its discipline. One must abjure slothfulness. The seventh day is a palace in time we build. It is made of soul, of joy, and reticence. Reticence means silence. It's in its atmosphere, a discipline is a reminder of adjacency to eternity. Remember I told you a while ago that God, in his own great wisdom, divided eternity into segments of seven. The first day, second day, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. That weekly cycle has absolutely no astronomical bearing. It is not based on the rotation of the moon around the earth. It's not based around the earth's revolution around the sun. It's not based on the Milky Way galaxy revolving in that massive mass called the Milky Way. It's not based on the Milky Way, you know, dancing, as it were, amongst the other galaxies in this vast universe. It has no bearing on that at all. And yet God saw it fit to subdivide eternity into seven parts. And he tells us, get this rhythm. Come on now, get this rhythm down. On the seventh day, I'll spend that day with you. Get that rhythm down. Get that rhythm down, and you will be all right. And yet, we rationalize a lot of times. We rationalize too often. I've got to do this one thing, and then yes, I'll rest. And what happens then is that we miss out on that rhythm that God sets or wants to set in our lives. Remember what Luke says in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 about Jesus Christ. He understood this rhythm so much that Luke notices in his own gospel, Luke chapter 4, verse 16, he says these words, he went, that is Jesus Christ, went to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue as was his custom, and he stood up to read. Are you willing to submit to the discipline of a day? These days, when you talk about the word discipline, it seems to have a negative connotation, as though God was, you know, this humongous, you know, traditional teacher carrying a whip. Either you obey me or I'll whip you. That's not what it's all about. But if you are willing to submit to this rhythm, then you will experience Sabbath as something joyous, something peaceful, something truly restful. Number three, The Sabbath, what does it do to us? Number three, it emphasizes the non-material quality of life. In other words, that life is not just about something physical, something tangible, something material. We're not to be like Madonna would like us to be, material girl or boy. We are to be non-material. Life is also composed of the things that you cannot touch, feel, or see. The things that are spiritual in nature. Remember what Jesus Christ says in Matthew 6, verse 33. Wonderful words from our Lord when he reminds us that life, in essence, is not about the things material, even if it is. It is not primarily so. Listen to what he says to those that think that it's all about the things that we need to accomplish in life, whether it is the next the next promotion or, you know, the next, whatever it might be, the next, great job that you want to have. Here's what Jesus Christ says in chapter 6 of Matthew, verse 33. He says, well, let me back up here to, verse 31. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Things that are material. Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Verse 33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, things that are not material. And all these things will be given to you as well. Wow. Isn't that wonderful? The fourth thing that Sabbath does to us is that it calls to mind our freedom and release from all the oppressive things of life. When you come to church on Sabbath, when you screech, you come to a screech, hopefully you're not coming to a screeching halt. Hopefully you're using Friday preparation day to slow you down as you rest on Sabbath. You know, I'm a little bit of a realist here. I know that a lot of times preparation day is non-existent. Even in my home, it is like that too. Sometimes. But here, God, through the Sabbath, wants us to remember that we have already been set free from the things that oppress us. From the one that oppresses us. And that to believe that we are saved by grace in Jesus Christ, when we come to church on Sabbath, when we come to a halt on Friday evening sunset, we're saying to ourselves and to God, look, I am no longer slave to my work. I will no longer believe that if I were to leave my work for two or three precious days, that I no longer believe that I will lose my job. And that the world will continue. The world will not come to an end for you if you should decide to rest one day. The next thing that Sabbath does to us is that it emphasizes the need for us to liberate others as well. I'm jumping here a little bit, you guys, but stick with me. I want to go back to slide number 16 on your cheat sheet there that I've provided. Pull up slide number 16. Which is the one that says Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 slide. Okay. Here you find in these two texts, basically, you know, the two Ten Commandments mentioned twice. The first one is in Exodus. The second one is in Deuteronomy. In Exodus chapter 20, the reason for the keeping of the Sabbath is tied to creation. Look what it says. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, something new is introduced. to the keeping of the Sabbath. It is no longer tied to creation. It is tied to something else. Watch this. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember that you were slaves. That you were working all the time for nothing. And that your slave masters were kicking you and were giving you all a hard time in the world and you could not rest all. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you, observe the Sabbath. You don't have to keep working anymore. Do you understand? Old habits are hard to break. You imagine those slaves that have been forced to work all the time, every day of the week. Then all of a sudden, God comes and says, stop. And they still do it. No, I gotta do this. Just one more hour, man. My slave master will come and whip me. I haven't fulfilled the quota. No. You're not in Egypt anymore. You're not in Egypt anymore. I have saved you. Now I want you to rest. But something is wrong if we stop there, if we rest for ourselves alone. And this is why the Sabbath also is instituted for us. That if we experience this freedom, this physical and spiritual freedom from in Jesus Christ, that we are to also let others experience that joy, that peace, that rest. And so Sabbath emphasizes the need as well to liberate others. Where do we find that? Well, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Let's just go ahead and go there for a minute or two. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, watch these words, okay? In chapter 5, starting with verse 13. We just quoted to you verse 12 right there. Now I'm going to pick it up in verse 13. Here's what it says. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. All right, now it begins to extend to others the blessings of Sabbath. And basically this command is saying, if you're head of the family, you better make sure that those who are under you will also rest. Don't rest at other people's expense, you understand? You are to help them as well rest along with you. Here's what it says, very fascinating. It says, on it you shall not do any work, neither you... All right, now it's going to begin to extend it now to others. Nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox. Your ox? Well, what's an ox? An ox doesn't even know what Sabbath means. What does ox have to do with anything? Well, it's right there. I don't know. It's right there. Nor your ox, nor your donkey, or any of your animals. Nor the alien, that's the most important thing right there, within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Those that are working for you. Those that are the marginalized in society. The alien, those that we might as well call it here, the illegal alien. The undocumented, those that live in the shadows of society. And so Sabbath is equipped with the ability, if we understand Sabbath well, for us on this day to go out and extend our own freedom to those people that are struggling as well for their own freedom. So yes, when we go and feed the poor on Sabbath, that's okay. Listen to what Neil Erik Andreessen again says. He says, the crucial remembrance clause points to the unique redemptive powers which Israel is implored to extend to the dependents in her midst by means of the Sabbath institution. And so, every seventh day, the heads of the households in Israel are called upon to provide their dependents in a small but real way with the kind of freedom which they received from God at the Exodus. The Sabbath being a day of rest is uniquely suited to be not only a symbol, but also an agent of such freedom. There's so much to say. There's so much to say here. You know what's interesting to me is that when Jesus Christ announced his arrival as Messiah to the world, when he began his ministry, did you know that Jesus Christ began his ministry along the lines of Sabbath liberation? Here's what he says in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, he quotes Old Testament scripture and he frames his work as Savior of the world along the lines of the old concept of Jubilee, which is basically the Sabbath instituted in different ways through the annual feasts and so on. And here in Luke chapter 4, verses 7, 18 and 19, he quotes Old Testament scripture when he frames his own mission in these words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's Jubilee right there. That's Sabbath terminology right there. And so can we blame the writer of Hebrews when he says that our future rest in Jesus Christ is much like the Sabbath rest that we have today? In a sense, it is a glimpse of what it would be like to truly experience the rest of God. When everything has been made new, Jesus Christ comes again and everything is renewed to where it has been before the fall. That's what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 111 says. Because the last thing I wanted to say about Sabbath is that it anticipates our future rest. The rest that we are waiting to have in Jesus Christ when he comes. Now do you ever wonder, do you still wonder what Jesus Christ means when he says in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, that the Sabbath was made for you? Are you using it? Are you putting it to good use? What does Sabbath truly mean to you?